Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Radio for Your Mind. I'm Troy Dooley, the host of this morning show. And I tell you what, it's another just clear, crisp, beautiful, sunny day down here in Florida on the Emerald Coast. I mean, the water is just emerald green. And unless you've seen the sand, realize what it is. It's hard to explain, but it looks like snow in the wintertime. That's how white it is. And it's just a phenomenal time. I'm truly blessed. I think we all are, to be living in the world at this time in history. The potential of what we can accomplish, the potential of what we have our hands on, both in business and in the spiritual world, health, family, doesn't matter. You know, it's astronomical. Today we're in Chapter 2 of Alan Fine's brand new book, just hit the market on the 14th, called You Already Know How to Be Great, A Simple Way to Improve or to Remove Interference and Unlock Your Greatest Potential. And this is one of those books that I think truly will rank up there on my bookshelf, just like Tom Hopp's book does. This thing is into the psyche of what we need to do to be able to perform. Written by someone else who has been in the sports arena as a coach, as a trainer, as a teacher of others, servant of others. And I think that's the phenomenal experience that we're looking for. We need people that have been there before us. We need people who are looking to help others. When you find a coach that wants to help, the sky's the limit. We can call them a mentor. We can call them a trainer. We can call them a teacher. But in Chapter 2, The Nature of Performance, Alan really hits something good, and it starts off, I think, in a great way. He says, knowledge was not the only thing or even the most important thing being blocked by interference. There are three other elements at the very heart of high performance. And not only were these elements important in and of themselves, they are also important because they facilitated the use of knowledge. When these elements were blocked, performance suffered. When they were unleashed, performance soared. I've come to call these three elements faith, fire, and focus, the three F's. Faith has to do with our beliefs about ourselves and the beliefs about others. Fire has to do with the energy, passion, motivation, and commitment. Focus has to do with what we pay attention to and how we pay attention. Faith, fire, and focus are what creates, now get this, engagement. See, I think that's what we have to look at right there. So many times here in just life, let alone business, let alone your nonprofit arenas, I don't care what it is that you're leading, it could just be you. You could be a single college student, Generation Y, Generation X. You're out there, you're trying to do something, but you're single, you're on your own. This still goes to you. Alan calls it his model of performance. And you might want to write this down. It's K3F, knowledge plus focus, fire, and faith. Those three things. That's what really creates the model for human performance. Listen to what he writes here. If you were to look at this model as a wheel, knowledge represents the rim. Faith, fire, and focus are the spokes supporting the wheel. The rim without the spokes or the spokes without the rim would render the wheel useless, as would a weakness of any of the four basic parts. Therefore, all four parts are vital to performance success. There's been a common theme over the last month, month and a half, maybe 2 months, of all the authors that we've been studying. If you look at Art Williams, 1984, in the book that Pushing Up People, he said, the most important element to be able to be a winner is the heart. Well, if you look at what Tom Hopp wrote, Tom said it is the inside heart that makes up the difference. If you look at what Alan says, he's saying it's the heart. It's the faith, the fire, the focus. See, the brain is so important because that's where everything comes into it. And that's why when we look at everything that we're learning, this is why you hear people all the time, from the time that we are old enough to understand our parents, we are told, don't hang out with the wrong crowd. When we're young, we think, well, that's just because they don't like them. They think they dress funny. They talk funny. They're coarse. They're callous, whatever. But the reality is, those that have gone before us understand. The people that we surround ourselves with most are going to be drilling our brains with stuff. And when you put that stuff in the brain, it causes interference. And when that knowledge up there, it doesn't do you any good when it's just dull, negative, disillusioned talk. When all it is negative, negative, negative. When all it is garbage. Then what happens is you're not able to be able to get to the heart of the issue. There is no faith, fire, and focus. All it is knowledge. And you end up not acting. Listen to what Alan writes here. As we observed in chapter 1, most performance improvement approaches pay attention. Let me say it again. As we observed in chapter 1, most performance improvement approaches pay attention primarily or even exclusively to the knowledge component. Obviously, some knowledge is essential. You find it hard to be a salesperson if you don't know anything about your product, your customers, or your competition. But it's the faith, fire, and focus that drives the quality of performance and performance improvement. This is what we release when interference was removed. Now, think about this for a second. You know, if you've listened to any of my trainings, if you've listened to Jim and I do interviews with top leaders, we make it very, very clear. When a person gets into a direct selling business, it should never be based on the compensation plan. It should never be based on the money story. And the reason being is when you do that, you never learn about your product, about the mission, about the heart of the company, about the service, about what it is you're doing to change the world. This is exactly what Alan is saying right here. I picked up the most current copy of the Forbes 400. I suggest that. And the reason that I suggest it is very simple. This year is for the first time they really go into detail about the stories of individuals. They show their passion. They show what it is they like, what it is that they're about. One story is about the owner of ABC Supply. It's the world's, or at least the United States, largest roofing supply. She has been with her husband basically since she was just right out of teenager into her early 20s. They had been partners in business. They had the heart. They had the drive. They had the passion. They had the knowledge, the faith, the fire, the focus. And one day, as they were building their dream home, her husband went up to look at something, tripped, and fell through a hole to his death. Her life was shattered. For the first time, basically and ever, she was by herself. She did not have anybody. Competition swarming around her. The vultures wondering what she was going to do. Because of this missing ingredient that most of us don't have because of interference. She took the knowledge that she had about the industry, the knowledge she had about the business, the knowledge she had about her own employees. And the first thing she did was she promoted their president to CEO and said, "You're going to be running the day-to-day operations." She started holding board meetings in her new home because she decided, "I'm going to finish my dream. This was a dream we had together." She had her husband's body buried outside the house so daily she could go out there and mourn and come back in and build a business and put the mourning aside. Understand, she's already up in her 50s, 60s. Kids are grown. The most unique thing about this story is because she had the faith, the fire, and the passion. When everybody wondered what she was going to do in a recession, were they going to be able to hit the $1 billion in sales mark that her and her husband had dreamed about? When the vultures were coming around wanting to know if she was going to have to start selling off parts of the business, she looked at her CEO and said, "We're going to go buy our competition." She bought their competition. They're doing over $4 billion a year in sales. See, when you have knowledge, when you have those three F's, faith, fire, and focus that Alan's talking about here, the sky's the limit. But here's what usually happens. And Alan really explains this great. He says, as toddlers, We believe in ourselves. We're excited about and interested in everything. We're totally focused on whatever's at hand. I can attest that. I got three of them running around the house. We're into everything. That's why mom and dad have to nail everything down, put in the safety plugs, do all that good stuff. I've got gates all over the house. But listen to what Alan says. Imagine what it was like when you were 1 year old. As you were exploring the world one day, you saw that mom was holding a multicolored book. You had faith. You believed that you could get that book. You had no reason to doubt it. You had fire. You were excited about doing it. You had focus. That was the only thing on your mind at the moment. So you went over and took the book away from her. And you explored it every way you could, front, back, inside, and out, all the bright colors. You listened to the noise it made as you banged it on the floor as you were playing with it. But soon, you grew bored. You looked over at your mom's friend, and all of a sudden you saw she had this long, skinny thing, and she was doing something with paper. So you went over and you grabbed it out of her hand. It felt good in your hand. You put it in your mouth. It didn't taste bad. You stuck it up your nose, and it hurt. You gave it back to her and went back and got mom's book. But soon you were bored with the book again, and you saw that dad was sitting there, and he had these really long, funky things on his shoes. So you went over and pulled on one, and it came untied, and you fell back, but it wouldn't come out of his shoe. And soon you were bored, and you went and got mom's book again. But this time, mom said, "No, stop it," and smacked your hand. All of a sudden, you had your first wake-up call. Alan calls it the watch-out moment. Ouch, that hurt. Mom raised her voice. She's terrorizing me. Who is this monster that I thought was my mom who loved me? All of a sudden, interference starts to play a role. Instead of having that unbridled faith, fire, and passion, now all of a sudden we start to be cautious. We grow into our teenage years. We go to school. We see a pretty girl, and she says, "Get away from me, nerd. You got a zit on your nose." Or that beautiful girl that is coming by, and here's this little freckled-faced girl with four eyes and braces, and the pretty girl says, "Get away from me. You look ugly and stupid." All of a sudden, another terrorizing moment, that watch-out moment. All of a sudden, we start to feel the emotions of rejection. All of a sudden, that faith, that fire, that focus is diminished with interference. See, it's a watch-out mode. As we become adults, most of us are in that watch-out mode. There's a reason that direct selling of any type is not for most people. They don't like the rejection. There's a reason that some people called gurus will prey on those types of people and try to sell them more information and say, "Just buy my book, just buy my CD series. Let me show you the easy way." That's why people are drawn to get-rich-quick schemes. It's because they want to be able to do something. They want to be able to prove a point. They know they shouldn't be doing it, but they do it anyway. It's sad. But little by little, our focus shifts from exploring and learning to avoiding and defending. Our faith is shaken. Our fire is dimmed. See, this is what we all have to worry about. This is what we all have to focus on, is not letting that interference, not letting what the dull, negative, disillusioned people of the world say to us that hold us back. See, Alan writes this, "As long as faith, fire, and focus is diminished or blocked, no amount of effort on the part of the coach or the performer will create anything near top performance. But when these elements are released, high performance normally or comes naturally and quickly." Now, this is outside of Alan's book, but I'm going to use this, and you guys know that I will cross-reference personal life along with business life. Listen to me here. Two things come to mind. One, based on my faith, my spiritual faith, was when Jesus was in the garden before he was crucified, if you've read the story in the Bible. Forget about the spiritual connotation for a minute. Let's just look at the human nature here. He was praying. He was crying out to his dad, his father, saying, "Why do I have to do this? Is there any other way around this? Do I have to do this?" He had the knowledge. He was not letting interference get in the way. He had the faith, the focus, and the fire. But he was looking for a way to maybe, is there another way? When he realized there was no other way, he was ready. He woke up his disciples. The Roman soldiers and the Jewish leaders were coming to get him. Peter, very quickly, one of the chosen few, pulled a knife and cut off the ear of a Roman soldier. At that moment, Peter had the faith, the fire, and the passion. But as soon as Jesus was taken captive, Peter let the interference get into the way. And in a few verses later, we see where he denied that he even knew Jesus Christ. See, sometimes out of fear, out of the rejection, we don't know what if, we can do that. We can be strong, we can be vibrant, but yet we can have that moment. Ladies on the call, let me share something with you. Your husband. He goes to work. He has one heck of a day. The boss is ragging at him. Sales quotas are down. Life sucks. The odds are when he gets home, he's going to be a little bit grumpy. Interference is going to be in the way. You're going to want to talk. You're going to want to know how his day is. He's going to say, there's nothing to talk about. He's going to snap at you. You're going to be grumpy. The last thing on your mind is to make love to him. If you want your husband to come out of his shell, and you are married, I say husband because that's my lifestyle. But here's what you can do. Men, you can do this too because women are similar. The only difference is I'd say wash your feet and let her calm down first. But here's what you do. When you are in that cave, ladies, when men are in their cave, if you make love to them, what happens is a psychological and a neural change in the chemical behaviors in their body. And all of a sudden, they feel loved again. All of a sudden, they feel like, hey, I can do something again. All of a sudden, the interference goes away because the one person in their life that they can trust, that they can adore, that they love so much that they know they can get upset with, she's saying, it's going to be okay. I want to give myself to you. And you'd be amazed most of the time that it will be real easy then for men to open up and share. And very quickly, you'll find that your relationship will go to a different level. It's a give or take, even in business. You have to be able to unblock the faith, the fire, and the focus. This happens in school. Matter of fact, parents, if you're on this call and you're listening to the show today, I want you to understand that I've homeschooled my kids. I went to school personally, but I've homeschooled all my kids. And now statistics are showing that school is not a bad thing. Education is wonderful, but kids need to learn based on their learning patterns. And there happens to be a wonderful school that was started by A.S. Neil in England. It was under a lot of controversy because what he did was he let the kids play a lot, especially in the early years. Play and have fun. Study what you want to study. Oh, the school unions in England didn't like that at all, and they brought him under an investigation, and here's what they learned. His kids were graduating high school earlier, going to college with higher test scores, and accomplishing better grades throughout their 4 to 8 year tenure in what their career was. The reason was, and this is the kicker, he knew how to unblock the faith, the fire, and the focus. Allen talks about this in three things. Faith is about belief. And put simply, belief drives behavior. Whether we believe we're intelligent or stupid, lovable or unlovable, in charge of our lives or victims without choice, those beliefs drive what we do. And because what we do leads to results, we get our life, our lives, our beliefs also drive results. See, here's the kicker, guys. Your beliefs are one of the most driving factors, your faith. See, the brain cannot differentiate, and you've heard me say this, between fantasy and reality. This is why a lot of times you'll see psychologists say, you know, any addiction is bad, whether it's pornography, whether it's sex, whether it's drugs, alcohol, doesn't matter, because all of a sudden your mind starts seeing that, hey, that must be my reality. Well, if you go around in life all the time saying, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I can't do that. There's no way to accomplish that. That person's going to tell me no. You prejudge everything. You will get exactly what you've asked for. It's a self-described, self-prophesying moment in your life. Stanford psychologist Carol Dweck have done extensive research showing the difference between people who believe that ability is something people are born with and those that believe it can be developed. The latter perspective really reflects faith in our ability to learn or in what we call a learner within. Those who believe ability is inherent typically believe that success should come easy, though they're practice anything. No reason to practice, it'll just come to me. They see failure as a lack of ability and easily discouraged. On the other hand, ability is something that can be developed, believe that success is the result of effort. They're motivated, not discouraged, by failure. They see themselves as learners and problem solvers, and if one solution doesn't work, they're ready to try another. See, this is where I get a little frustrated, and you guys know this, with this law of attraction, the secret. Because, see, you have to act. You're going to fail, and just because you fail don't mean you quit. It means you go on and you learn something new. See, that's the key. Fire. Listen to this. Fire is about energy and passion. It's manifested in the commitment we often see expressed in people or companies that do great and inspiring things. Not only Nobel Prize winners such as Muhammad Yunus, Nelson Mandela, and Mother Teresa, or great performers and athletes such as Yaya Ma and Tiger Woods, and the list could go on, but also volunteers who spend hundreds of hours running literary centers, staffing soup kitchens, and providing medical care, or working a Catalyst conference once a year. See, this is the kicker here. I think that when we look at teachers, when we look at police officers, when we look at even politicians sometimes, we see people that have the fire. When we look at top performers in direct selling, we see people that have the fire. The question is, do you have the fire? The question is, do you have the faith that is going to help blaze up that fire within you? Do you have a heart of change? Do you realize that what you were yesterday does not mean you have to be that today? Fire shows itself. Here's what Alan writes. I love this. Fire shows itself in different ways in different people. While I've known top salespeople who fit the stereotype of being dynamic, charismatic, and outgoing, I've known others who have been quiet and reserved but have beat the socks off the competition with their drive and passion for hard work. The absence of fire is called indifference. Now, I know some people that would be called top dogs in direct selling that don't have the fire anymore. They had the fire in that first company. They built it from scratch. They built it organically. They believed in the leadership. They believed in the product. And most of all, they believed in themselves. But somewhere along the line, the interference got in. Somebody started saying, you can't trust this. These people aren't listening to you. You're a top dog now. They forgot where they came from. And they jump from company to company to company, always living on their past experience, always taking a handout, never performing because they've lost their fire. Don't lose your fire, whether you're brand new or old. Don't lose your fire if you're a CEO. Keep looking for that next product, like your flagship product. Keep looking for that next change. Keep looking for something that will change the world, because I think that is what takes us into our focus. See, focus is about directed attention or concentration. It's what leads to the quiet mind and sense of effortness we feel when we do things well. It's what gives us the ability to be in the here and now, paying full attention to the tasks at hand, uninterrupted by outside distractions. I see this every year at Catalyst, not so much by the speakers and the band members, but by the actual people that really produce the show, the volunteers. I see it in myself. On a Monday, I walk in and my feet and my body feels great. By Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, usually my feet have blisters. My ankles will swell. My back's killing me from lifting. But you know what? I feel it when I get up in the mornings, and by the time I hit that auditorium, that stadium, that arena, all the pain has become secondary. It's all gone because of the focus of being able to create an experience where 13,000 to 15,000 people will for 2 days be able to get a glimpse of what their life could be like if they just have the faith, the fire, and the focus to go out there and change their little part of the world. See, this is what Alan's talking about. Vince Lombardi said, only perfect practice makes perfect. Alan writes, by creating the appropriate focus during practice, a performer can actually reduce the practice time necessary to create the habits needed for top performance. Hubert Humphrey, one of the great network marketing leaders, calls it collapsing time frames. If you look at what others have done, you practice perfectly what the actions are, and then you put your fire and your faith into it, the sky's the limit on what you can do. Now, I'm not saying that you can go out and sink basketballs in a hoop and dunk it if you're 4'5". I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that if you want what the passion is on your heart, if you know you've got this purpose and you know what it is and it won't go away, if you will gain the knowledge, get rid of the interference, and put your faith, fire, and focus into it, the sky's the limit. You will change the legacy of your family. You will change your legacy. You'll change the legacy of people around you. Alan writes this, clearly focus is a powerful tool for removing distractions, and it is vital to high performance on every level. See, that's the kicker right there. If we want it bad enough, if we're willing to go after it, we will get it. That's the name. If you want high performance, then you need faith, the belief in your ability to learn and adapt. You need the fire, the passion, the energy, the commitment to make it happen. You need the focus, the attention, the concentration. Here's the bottom line in the last couple of minutes. Whatever our capacity, we have a greater chance of fulfillment at it when we believe that we can do better. When we believe that if we just go out there and do it, as Art Williams says, if we have the faith in ourselves, if we have the faith in our team, even when they don't have the faith, we can do it. When we are excited about learning and doing, in other words, when we have the fire to go out there and say, we're going to make this happen, we're going to perfectly practice, we're going to take it to the next level. When we pay attention in a way that will quiet our minds, focus. Listen, I'll give you a good way to do that. Take your iPad, your MP3 player, whatever it is you're using. Alan talked about the Walkman. That's kind of antiquated. But load it with some positive music. Load it with some positive training. Here's the reason. If you will do that everywhere you go, put it in your car, put CDs in. Those little stories that cause those limiting beliefs in our brain, I can't do this, oh no, I don't know why that happened to me, those will go away if we're focused on everything else. If we're focusing on the positive and we're drilling it into our brains morning, noon, and night, the sky's the limit on where we can go. The sky's the limit. Alan writes this in closing. The good news is because of faith, fire, and focus are innate, we have the ability to renew the faith, rekindle the fire, and recreate the focus we were born with that are so vital to high performance. That happens as we get rid of the interferences that block these natural, inherent human gifts. Folks, that's the key right there. Take an assessment today of your life. Where is that interference getting in? Do you still have faith in your abilities? Do you have faith that you can change your part of the world? Do you still have the fire in the pit of your gut that your company, your product, your service, whatever it is you're doing is what's right for you in the world, right for you and your family? Do you have the focus to become better than you were yesterday? Do you have the focus to lead your team in the direction that it needs to go? If not, start working on those three qualities. K3F, that's the thing to take a little bit. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow with us on Radio Free Your Mind. Bye now.